So in the gospel today, the scribes and the Pharisees are setting a trap for our Lord. It's a pretty good trap. The law of Moses required that if a woman was caught committing adultery, she would be stoned. And the man, too, he's not in the gospel for whatever reason. So the woman was required to be stoned to death, but under Roman rule, the Jews did not have the authority to put someone to death. That was against the Roman law. So if Christ upheld the Mosaic law and said, stone her, then he'd be violating the Roman law. If he went with the Roman law and said, don't stone her, then he'd be violating the law of Moses. So whichever way he went, they knew they had him. So that was the trap they set. And not only did Christ slide right through their trap, but he actually turned the tables against them. So lesson one today is don't try and outsmart Jesus Christ. So it doesn't work. One of the great mysteries of this reading is, you know, when he bends down to write in the sand, what does he write? You know, theologians and people speculated through this, on this throughout the centuries. But I'll throw one thing as a possibility. Perhaps the when he bent down the first time, he wrote the standard with which you judge. And the second time is the standard with which you will be judged. Perhaps that's what he wrote in the sand. Because certainly what he does is he turns the table on them. They're focused on this woman and her sin and how she deserves death. And what Christ says is, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So he turns it right around, instead of focusing on her sin, to focus on their own sin. So before you condemn her, why don't you look at yourself first? His goal was to bring about repentance in their hearts, of course. I was once reading spiritual writing from this abbot, who was the head of a monastery. And monasteries are supposed to be communities of men or women who are dedicated to living lives of Christian perfection and of charity. But you can imagine, anytime you put 100 people together for their entire lives, and they're there day in and day out, 7 days a week, little things would probably get on their nerves. You know, just the person singing out of key for 8 hours a day right next to you, or, you know, the person who doesn't close their mouth when they eat. You know, small things, I'm sure, would become very big issues. So that's what this abbot was writing about. And he was addressing some of the infighting and some of the petty bickering that can arise in a community like that, or any community. But what he said is, the reason there's so much discord is that we look to see the faults of others first, rather than first looking at ourselves and seeing our own faults. If we looked at ourselves first, all of that petty fighting and bickering would go away. And in the sacrament of confession, every once in a while, people will go in and start confessing the sins of other people. Well, these are my husband's sins, or these are my wife's sins, these are my children's sins. I got angry because of this person's sin. I can't forgive other people's sins. I can only forgive the sins that the person confesses. So I think it's important for us, first and foremost, to look at ourselves. You know, how often do we criticize our spouse or our siblings because of their faults and what they're doing to annoy us, instead of first looking at ourselves and seeing that it's our own short temper that's the problem? How often do we harbor grudges against those who lied to us, or those who have sinned against us or harmed us in some way, when the real problem is our own lack of forgiveness? Why don't we forgive that person first? Sometimes people get upset about the possessions that others have or how they flaunt things. But isn't the real problem that we ourselves are worldly and that we're too attached to those things? And we can't let those go. You know, how often do we scream and yell at kids because they don't do what we say? But maybe the real problem is we've lost our cool. Maybe that needs to be dealt with first. We can't change other people. A lot of times we try, but we can't. The only person we have complete control over is ourselves. And so, you know, if we think, how much better off would we be if every single person in this community, every single person in the Catholic Church, or every single person in the world looked at first and foremost to themselves and their own sins before they started looking to others? You know, fraternal correction has its place. You know, sometimes if someone is doing something wrong, it's important for us to correct them. But it's more effective when it comes from someone who's first humble and striving to live a good Christian life and repenting of their own sins. It means a lot more when it comes from someone like that, someone who is a living witness. You know, one of the beautiful things about the sacrament of confession is part of that is doing an examination of conscience where we do look at our own lives honestly and take responsibility for our own actions and then seek forgiveness. There's no grace available by harping on the weaknesses of others or by judging them for their actions. There's no grace available that way. But there's tremendous grace available when we repent of our own sins and seek our Lord's forgiveness. So before we start casting stones at others, first, we need to look at ourselves. And if everybody does that, and everybody has an interior conversion and is striving to live the gospel, how much stronger would our church be? And how much holier would the world be?